This is Talking to America. I'm your host, Aaron Zellman. Our guest today for a repeat visit is Ryan Horsley of Reg Trading Post in Twin Falls, Idaho. Welcome, Ryan.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Good. Today we're going to do a follow-up on the great treatment that you've been getting from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives and how kind they've been to you. The last time we spoke, a judge had granted you an injunction. Now, what was the injunction for? And I assume this appeared to be a good sign, but then what happened?
The judge granted an injunction, and in that stating basically three things. One, that the ATF had failed to produce a 2001 audit and a 2007 audit, which showed us in perfect compliance. And he had also noted that the ATF had been double-counting violations, and also the fact that we were not a threat to public safety, which the Director of Industry Operations had contended. And so, after that, it seemed to be going on pretty well. However, we then began to get more frequent audits. In fact, in the 2005 audit, we had one inspector covering 5 years. Now, we've had several audits since, and now we've had two inspectors and an area supervisor come down for each of those, which they can only go back to the last audit, so they're only covering 2.5 to 3 weeks in each of these audits, but extremely scrutinizing everything that we do.
Are they trying to undo their incompetence by coming in so often to audit your books?
Well, it's interesting because they've countered what they've said before. And in fact, one of the inspectors who's been there, I've said to him several times, you've never told us about this, or you've never, put it this way. And, they're just, it seems like they're stepping on each other's toes because, what they say does not coincide with what has happened before, or even with policies or regulations. It just seems like a blatant attempt to find anything and everything.
Well, if I recall, one of the folks involved with the area supervisor is a Linda Young, and she made it very clear to you and in front of your employees that she would keep coming back until she found something.
That is correct. That is one of the statements that our employees documented, her stating to two other inspectors. And so, of course, this has given us cause to, scrutinize their actions and scrutinize, what is being said, because it's obvious that they're looking for something, in an attempt to paint us in a bad light before the judge. And so that's why, we want to be able to document and show everything that's happening.
Now, if I recall correctly, you were making some videotapes while they were in the store?
That is correct. Videotaping them, and this kind of served two purposes. One, to kind of keep everyone in line and let them know that, we were, keep everybody well-mannered, and also, make sure that, any of the statements, such as that statement, were then documented, and that if they were wanting to, make statements such as this and such as some of the other statements, that it was shown, on video, on audio. And also to allow us to look back at the audits and for our own sake as well, if there's anything that we need to clarify at a later date.
Yeah, it would seem to me videotaping them would be good, considering they've made the statement they'll keep coming back until they find something, because you never know if what they're going to find is something that they planted. Well, let me go into another question for you. Your sheriff has taken a keen interest in this, and from what I understand, he's not pleased with the ATF. And what can you tell me about this, and why would the sheriff be concerned?
The sheriff has contacted the ATF several times, asking why they're conducting conducting investigations and audits within his jurisdiction without his approval and without at least letting him know. And they have repeatedly just ignored him. And of course, the you know, according to the U.S. Constitution, also the Idaho Constitution as well, that the sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer in this jurisdiction. And so he has just politely requested that they let him know. However, they continue to had continued to, you know, simply ignore him despite his numerous requests. And so he has stated, you know, if, and I have let him know when they have came in, at least the last three audits. So, which is interesting, you know, because especially if they state that, you know, they were intimidated or, you know, were scared or anything like that, you know, the sheriff was fully aware that they were in, and I had let them know that they were in, despite them not, you know, not telling him. So he has taken a good interest in this and has asked us to keep him informed, which we have.
Okay. You were kind enough to premiere the gang movie for us in Twin Falls, Idaho. Can we talk about the response you had from people who showed up as well as your customers?
We actually had a packed house both nights. In fact, Richard Salata with KT Ordnance, who has experienced his own troubles with the ATF, had came down as well. And it's interesting because both nights the crowd was just completely quiet. And, you know, speaking with a lot of people beforehand, you know, they're, you know, just it seemed more curiosity, you know, what's going on. However, you know, at the end of the, you know, the showings, people were really upset, and, you know, and it really put a lot of pieces to the puzzle as far as what is happening and, you know, what the ATF is doing, you know, in an attempt to, you know, shut down our Second Amendment. And people were absolutely amazed that this could happen, especially right here, you know, in America, and, you know, with and that this is even possible.
I know that you made an effort to get copies of the gang to some of the politicians that you have to deal with in Idaho. Have you had any feedback from them? Did they bother watching it? Have they said anything?
Some of their staff had actually requested a copy. I have not received much of an input back. A couple of the staffers had stated that it was particularly alarming what they saw, but from our congressional delegates and others, I really haven't heard a direct response back yet. So that's one of the things I keep pressing them on and keep asking, what is the response? How do they feel? Is this something that the gang paints it out and shows everything that's happening, and so it depends on what you want to do with it. If you want to simply discard the information, that's one thing. However, if you want to really look into it, it's amazing. Anyone who wants to dispute the gang, show reasons that you want to dispute the gang, because these are facts. These are documented facts, and but it's simply something that, you know, we're getting to a point you just cannot simply discard it or look the other way.
It was about 2 months ago, I think, when you first showed the gang. What kind of response have you been getting from your customers in the last 2 months? And have they been a little dismayed that the politicians that they think are their friends have really done nothing?
Absolutely. I just spoke with a gentleman yesterday, and he said, you know, one of our senators had repeatedly not answered his letters, you know, asking specifically questions about our case and about the gang, because it just seems a lot of times it's an easy answer to say, you know, Red's Trading Post is in federal court, there's nothing that we can do at this time, and that seems to be the pad response. However, you know, and as I've stated several times, this is not why I'm speaking up. I'm not speaking up for Red's Trading Post. I'm speaking about up for other dealers and also our Second Amendment. And that seems to be the question that they keep dancing around is, you know, what are you doing to prevent, you know, prevent what the ATF is doing? And also, you know, to protect our Second Amendment and dealers as well. But it just seems to be the question they either avoid or keep dancing around.
Speaking of dealers being affected by the BATFE, do you recall the numbers or approximate numbers of the dealers who have gone out of business from the high of 200,000 plus?
Yes, actually, the ATF has had actually posted it on their It was nearly 80% of the dealers from 1994 to 2005. The number of dealers went from 245,628 to 54,902. And also the number of revocations of licenses has increased from 2001 to 2006 nearly six times.
Well, this first started with the Clinton administration, if I remember correctly. And we've had a Republican administration now, and it looks like things are getting worse for gun owners, especially dealers.
It does. And, you know, as a Republican myself, it seems to be very alarming. And no one seems to be answering this question as to why is this happening. And that's something else that, you know, a lot of my fellow Republicans as well seem to be avoiding that question, or again dancing around that question, and the fact that why is this happening directly under this administration, and more importantly under Alberto Gonzalez and the Department of Justice. Well, you know, why is this happening? And clearly there are no answers. And the other question that I continue to ask, which this question doesn't get answered, is does the ATF answer to anyone? Because it doesn't seem so, because our congressional delegates have indicated that. Numerous other people have questioned that as well. But this appears to be an agency that specifically answers to no one and goes about. So it puts a lot of questions in the minds of, you know, of gun dealers and of myself in general. Who do these guys answer to? And that's a question that I hope we finally get answered or make them accountable to someone.
At this point, they are above the law. They seem to use the law to destroy the law, especially the Bill of Rights. But let me move on to something else with you. With all of these things going on with the ATF and more publicity being brought to your cause, you started a blog. Can you tell us about the blog and how you're using it and what kind of response you're getting from people?
At first, I had been sending out mass emails, and more people were just wanting to know what's happening. And everything was happening at such a rapid rate, even every day, that I started this blog and to, you know, let people know and let people have an insight as to what's happening. Going through this, the mind of a dealer who's, you know, continuously attacked. And we've gotten an incredible response. There's been so many people who have been following this. You know, at times we get anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 hits a day from people following our story, looking on, and you know, asking questions. It's been and of course, you know, the biggest visitor to our website is the Department of Justice, who has hit our website numerous times, along with we've had the Pentagon, and it seems that anyone who writes a story about us or questions the ATF, what tends to happen is they visit their website and they'll sit on their website. Some people have reported up to hours on their website, making their presence known, and they choose not to hide their IP address. They sit there, and but it hasn't. And generally, this is their way to intimidate people. However, it's been a good response because a lot of people aren't intimidated. A lot of people are exposing them and saying, "Hey, listen, why have you sat on my website this long? What are you hoping to look for?" And so it's I've received a lot of reports like that. But it's I've been very pleased to be able to document our experience and kind of shed some light, and that's exactly what the ATF doesn't want to do is expose the light on their actions and what exactly that they're doing.
This is Talking to America. Our guest today is Ryan Horsley, and I'm your host, Aaron Zellman. Ryan, I find it very fascinating. You commented about a computer system the ATF was so adamant about you getting. You already had a computer system, or you still have one. But why did they want you to get their type of computer system?
What's interesting is the Director of Industry Operations, this Richard Van Loan, had stated that if we had a computerized acquisition disposition system, that he would have never revoked our license. And we initially had began looking for a system after our 2000 audit, and we had went through probably about four different systems that really didn't either meet our needs or would not meet the needs of the ATF. They're extremely specific on what type of system it is, and we finally got a system that would meet their needs. It's a $12,000 system that we're leasing. Yet at the same time, the area supervisor had came in and deemed it inadequate. And so, and what's also interesting is the fact that Mr. Van Loan had stated that with this system, that the 2005 audit, that we would have, if we had a computerized system, we would have never had the violations. However, if you take a look at the violations that we had, a lot of these were, people not having the county on the forms, a lot of clerical errors on the forms, and also we had stated the pamphlet and the poster that state handguns are dangerous around children. This would have never prevented it, but like our competitor, Blue Lake Sporting Goods, who they shut down as well, they were being forced into getting a computerized system as well before they revoked their license. And this seems to be the trend of getting dealers to get these computerized systems. And, of course, these systems have to meet the needs, have to meet several specifications of the ATF as well.
I'm still a little curious because I am not a computer techie kind of fellow, but what is so special about their system compared to the ones you're trying to lease? And why are they so adamant that you use a system to their specifications?
The systems that they're wanting are systems that would back up, for instance, your information, your personal information, also information on all of the firearms that you have purchased from us, make, model, serial number, and that at any time that they request these records, they can come in and either provide this information for them on a disc or print it out for them. And so this is something that the ATF has been pushing for the last couple of years. And so this system has to be backed up every single night to ensure that all of this information is kept on hand.
Can they access this system without coming into your store?
What's interesting is they have it appears that they may be acquiring the software or the capabilities to do that. So from the system that we have, I don't believe that they do, but however, they have deemed our system inadequate at this point.
Gee, I just can't imagine why. This leads to something that I think is very serious. The ATF, with their computerization approach, is creating a national list, a gun registry of gun owners who buy their guns from a retail dealer. And historically, as we all know, that's been very dangerous when the government knows who owns the guns. Especially a government as paranoid as the present government we have in the United States about gun ownership. But that's only part of the problem, I think, Ryan. I think we have to go on to something else. If a dealer decides that they want to close up shop, then have to take all these 4473s and all of the logbooks and turn them over to the ATF, correct?
That is correct.
Now, I guess we can only speculate as to what they're doing with all that information that's coming in. But with 200,000 gun dealers going out of business and turning in their books, I can't help but believe that someone's awfully busy at the ATF computerizing all this information. Have you heard anybody comment on this?
I've had people question, Ryan, if you do go out of business, if they do revoke your license, what happens to all of my personal information? What happens to all your forms that you had? All the, you know, and as I've stated before, we had averaged about 2,000 firearm sales per year. And we have to hold on to those for 20 years. So people asking, you know, basically what happens to these approximately 400,000 forms? And those all go to the ATF. And no one knows what happens to them at that point. It's simply we turn that information over. We also turn over our acquisition and disposition books, which even go back further than the 20 years. All of that information, all of your information, then goes to the ATF. And along with all of the information on all of the firearms, the serial numbers, make, model, everything else, that all goes to the ATF. And again, as you pointed out, the number of dealers being shut down, that's quite an alarming number of information that is being kept by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. And what are they doing with it? And is anyone checking what's happening to these? And again, are these being properly disposed of after 20 years like they're supposed to, the forms? However, is the information being put into a system? Honestly, no one knows.
Well, perhaps we need to find out. You know, and the one thing that we pointed out in the gang movie, which you can learn more at the gangmovie.com site, is that the Nazis had the same policy. You had to have books that showed what came in and what went out and where it went to and who bought it. And then you had to turn all the records over to the police when you shut down your gun store, assuming they let you have one in the first place. I think we're faced with something that's very serious, very dangerous. And I think that we need to start asking more questions about what's really happening to all of these 4473 forms. I have a last question for you. What kind of response you're getting from pro-firearms groups? What kind of help are you getting? Or are you being ignored?
It's interesting because a lot of the pro-firearms groups have been a bit standoffish. And some of them are simply, we'll simply check in with us and see what's going on. But yet at the same time, no one wants to address the question. Everyone is aware as far as what is happening and what the, you know, there's no secret in the industry with these groups. But it's concerning that a lot of this information has been withheld. It has been withheld from the general public and withheld from gun owners that this is happening. And, you know, even more so that several of these groups are either siding with the ATF or, ignoring the issue altogether. And so, you know, that's You know, that's the question. That's the question that, you know, a lot of firearms owners, a lot of members of various groups need to ask themselves. How does this organization or that organization respond to the threat of the ATF? And that's something that everyone needs to begin asking, and honestly hold some of these groups accountable as well. And that's the big question right there, Aaron.
Before we sign off, can you give people the address for your blog and the phone number for your store and anything else you'd like to share with people so they can contact you?
Yes, our web address is www.redstradingpost.com, and there is a link to our blog on there. Our phone number is 208-733-3546. And again, we have our online petition. We have well over 4,600 signatures, and people are encouraged to, you know, sign the petition. And again, if they feel that, you know, indicate on there, there's places for comments. You know, whether you feel that, you know, the ATF needs to be abolished, please indicate this and let people know. We need to really hold our congressional delegates and other people accountable and make them begin answering questions of why is this abuse happening and why is it being overlooked.
Well, I agree totally. This has been Talking to America. Our guest today has been Ryan Horsley. I've been your host, Aaron Zellman. And I'd like to remind all of you, if you won't defend your rights, don't complain when you lose them.
Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of JPFO.org or its members. Talking to America is a production of JPFO.org.